This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, everyone. Welcome back to our weekly Q&A with Sheikh Akram Nadwi. We were on a two-week, if I'm not mistaken, break, but alhamdulillah, we're back. Again, 6 p.m. UK time, every Thursday, every week, inshallah, for half an hour. Just quickly, I do want to apologize. The time did move back 1 hour in the UK a few days ago. So I did post the Q&A poster, and the timing was a little bit off. So I do apologize, and inshallah, hopefully next week we can have that adjusted, inshallah. Without any further ado, let's get started. Just one more thing for anyone that does hear any strange noises. There are a lot of fireworks in my background. I will try to mute myself as much as possible, inshallah. Let's take a question from Moin Odin, inshallah. And his question is, in my culture, it has always been taught or simply practiced through generations that a wife should never address her husband by his name, even amongst themselves. Is there any basis for this in Islam?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yeah, you know, it is a very important question. The way, you know, in Arabic culture and Islamic culture, actually is a part of Arab culture in that sense, has been that when people address someone who they respect, so they address with the kunya. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was called Ya Abul Qasim, or O Abul Qasim. And when you call someone who is equal to you or lower than you, you just mention the name. But somebody who you want to respect, you have kunya. So this could be reason that why the people, you know, the women call their husbands with a kunya or something else, because out of the respect. But otherwise, in religion, there is no basis for that. The women in the past, they used to call the husbands with their names. And names have, you know, no problem. Some people think if the women, call their husbands with a name, you know, separation will happen or something like that. There's nothing actually like that, you know, absolutely fine. People can do. But if some out of respect, somebody wants to call his wife with kunya, or the wife wants to call her husband with the kunya, or some other title, you know, that's good. There's no harm in that. But same way, people can call each other with the name.
Okay, let's take the next question, inshallah. And this question is the khutbah of nikah compulsory for marriage? If two people in the presence of a witness say that they accept each other in the nikah, will the marriage be valid? And is the parents' permission or awareness important?
You know, khutbah is not compulsory in the nikah. Nobody says that. Khutbah is sunnah, recommended. There are so many hadith where the companions married each other without any khutbah. You know, if a man said to a woman, I married you, and she accepted, or the woman said to her man, I married you, and he accepted, he said, yes. And there are people who can witness, that's enough. And mahr will be obligatory, even if not mentioned, mahr will be obligatory. You don't need to mention mahr. If you mention, that's fine. If you don't mention, still mahr will be obligatory. But there's no need for any khutbah in the nikah. There's no need for any alim or maulana or shaykh to conduct the marriage. A man who wants to marry your bridegroom or bride, they can initiate their nikah by themselves. Man can say, I married you, or she can say, I married you, and he says, yes. And there are people who can witness the marriage is absolutely fine. There is no harm in that. But it is better to involve the family. But in a Hanafi madhab, even if the family don't agree, and the people who are marrying their adult, then they don't depend on anybody's consent. You know, they're independent, they can marry each other as they like.
Okay, Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. Let's take a question from Fahim. And this question is, what advice would you give for someone who wants to seek knowledge but is not currently financially able to?
Yeah, you know, this is really very difficult because knowledge these days is not easy, you know. So people have to, you know, make effort to earn money. If they can't earn money, then they are eligible to receive zakat. So students like that, they are one of the important you know, people who can receive zakat. You know, we pay zakat to the poor people, needy people, but actually the most important thing will be in our time, you know, the students of knowledge, because, you know, they'll be so beneficial for the whole society. So people should help them and, you know, and find out students like that. When they spend their zakat, you know, to needy and poor people, they should prioritize and give the zakat and sadaqah to the students that everybody has been saying, you know, in the from the past. And I really recommend, you know, strongly that in every country, like, you know, in UK, there should be fund available for the students, you know, where people can, you know, pay their, you know, zakat, gift, whatever they want, and then that money is spent on the students.
Okay, let's take a question from Fatiha. Her question is quite long, so it may not all come out. Let's try it, inshallah. Okay, can we simplistically make dalil for women in the spoils of war to become slaves and have no marital status being available for their masters by what Allah mentioned in verse 24 of Surah An-Nisa? And the part of his verse she's referring to is وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ إِلَّا مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Or is it actually an extended point that is related to the verse before, which is talking about the women who are haram for men to marry?
You know, thing is, if somebody is already in somebody, you know, Quran mentioned the women who you are not allowed to marry. So, you know, mothers and sisters, daughters, all these, among the women who you, people are not allowed to marry, wal muhsanat, those women who are already married. You can't marry married women, except the women who are slave girls, meaning they are married in, you know, in their culture, religion. Then after that war happened and they are captured, and now they become slaves. So they can't go back to their husbands. Because people who are taken them, they are owned them now. So after passing, you know, 1 month or one cycle, then the masters are allowed to have a relation with them. Or the, these girls can be married to someone else, you know, either people can agree. So this is an exception for unmarried people, because the marriage in this case is broken. You know, they live in two different countries and two different system, they can't meet each other. Husband and wife here cannot meet. So this separation itself is like a divorce or separation. Now they can't meet each other. So this exception happened. But generally, and certainly, you know, this is in those traditions and cultures when the war was happening and when every country used to follow those norms. But in our time, it is not the case. So if there's a war happening between two countries, and the women, they leave on nation, they happen to be in their place, nobody can marry them because they still be under the marriage of their previous husbands, because there's no slavery, nothing like that. So this is a rule for the past. And I don't think people can understand so easily. You know, one day maybe I explain this a little bit more detail, so it will be clear. But anyway, simple matter is this is about married women who have become slave. Yeah.
Okay, Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. Let's take a question from Fariha. And her question is it mandatory on us to recite the Quran following all the rules of Tajweed, like Ghunna and Ikhfa?
The thing is, people have to beautify, you know, as much as possible, but we can't say it is all obligatory. You know, people should read like Arabic language. So that should they make an effort. And what it means, like makharij. So makharij is important because every language has its own way of to pronounce words. So people should learn makharij as best as possible. Though among the companions also, there have been people who could not, you know, express the makharij properly. But many sifat of the huruf and details of the gunna and mad, they have been developing, you know, over the centuries, you know, improving. Many of these things we certainly know the Prophet ﷺ did not follow them, because, you know, it has come detail that how he used to you know, read so many surahs in one rak'ah. So if he followed all these rules, he cannot do that. So there's no harm to follow these rules, but they are not obligatory. You know, we'll recommend people at least they should learn makharij. But more than that, they do. It is better. If they don't do, there's no harm in that.
Just a follow-up on this question, Sheikh. What would you say to someone who's maybe prioritizing beautifying their voice and the melody of their voice over, for example, following the codified tajweed rules or their makharij?
Yeah, you know, makharij is more important than just beautifying the voice. And more important than that really is, you know, to understand the Quran and reflect upon the verses and ponder the Quran. That is the command of Allah SWT clearly. Quran is a message, it has come as a message. That people should focus more. You know, this reading with the tongue, that is not obligatory. Obligation is to understand the Quran, to understand the message properly. That where people fail. Most people only think how to learn, you know, reading with the lips. You know, reading with the lips never has been, you know, in any language really. It always has been understanding, you know. So people have to focus on that. If Quran is not understood, then reading with the lips will not benefit people, will not bring the iman and you know, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all the benefits of the Quran, they're only by because of understanding and following. That's why you can see when the Quran's barakah is mentioned, it is mentioned in connection of tadabbur, in pondering the Quran, or in connection of the ittiba, following the Quran. Just reading with the lips has no, never has come really. The Prophet has never advised people to read with the lips. You know, all every advice is to understand the Quran.
Okay, let's take another question, inshallah. One moment. Okay, let's take this question. I understand Shaitan first refused to prostrate, but at this point, he was not banished from heaven. He was banished after Adam alayhi salam ate from the tree. Do we know what happened to Shaitan in between?
You know, we only know about ghaib, unseen things, as much as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned to us. He had his own hikmah, went to banish Shaitan from the heaven, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach Adam alayhi salam, you know, how Shaitan is going to mislead him. So that place was like a rehearsal for Adam alayhi salam. So full rehearsal was done there, that Shaitan misleads him, and then, you know, he repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then after that, he is sent to the earth. He was made for that. Adam alayhi salam was not made to live in paradise anyway. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him as a khalifa for the earth. So he was meant to be here. But before coming here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach him that how Shaitan will mislead him and then how he can repent and his family can repent. So that's why Shaitan and Adam were allowed to stay there until the rehearsal is complete. So when Shaitan misled him, influenced him, and then after that Adam and Eve, they repented. Then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them to the earth, making very clear that Shaitan will be your enemy. So you have to be careful.
Okay, inshallah, let's take the next question from Sister Miriam. Her question, apologies, it's quite long, so I'll remove it soon. Her question is, for the hadith, Naqisa Aql Waddin, Sheikh Salman Al-Awda mentioned that Ya Ma'shar al-Nisa is for a specific group of women. And a number of contemporary scholars such as Mutlaq al-Jasir say that this hadith is ala sabil al-mizah. Could it be possible that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew the marital realities of the men who would complain to him and their wives?
No, it's not.
I feel like the question's been cut off a bit. So please, Maryam, if you can add more, inshallah, and we can add it afterwards.
You know, the thing is that this question I have answered so many times. The best thing is, you know, find out the clip and send to the people. But certainly it's not meza or joke or something from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is a very serious matter. And what it means that women are naqisat wa aql, I have made very clear, you know, in some of my answers. So please refer back to those answers. It will help. Otherwise, you know, I have to repeat the same thing again and again. I've answered this question so many times.
Sorry, Sheikh, just from the top of your head, do you know where we can direct anyone that wants to see
this? You know, this question I answer, you know, In the answer as well, and I taught the course on the women, on the women, the full day course about Muhaddithat, and in all these courses, this hadith has come so many times, and also in Bukhari, I got when Bukhari teaching this hadith came in the beginning, Kitab al-Ilm, there also explained. So this hadith I explained so many times.
Okay, Okay, so for anyone who is interested in watching back this course, Sheikh Rahim did hold a two-day course in Al-Muhadithat back in January, so the beginning of this year. For anyone who does want to access this course, if you go on ondemand.assalam.ac.uk, we have made our previous short courses available to purchase on demand, so you have access to them and watch it in your own time within 90 days. So inshallah, I'll try and add this in the comments. But for now, if you can head there, inshallah. Let's take another question. Just give me one moment. Okay, let's take a question from Mohammed. And his question is, my wife has a couple of ornaments which her grandparents gave her. She has a special attachment to it. It is not kept as an asset to sell later. She doesn't wear them daily. She only wears them on special occasions. Should we be giving zakat for it?
Yeah, you know, the ornaments are from gold or silver. And they are, you know, they reach to the amount of nisab, which could be, you know, with your savings and all together. Nearly 4,000-5,000 pounds. If people have got 4,000-5,000 pounds, including the ornaments, then they must pay zakat. In Hanafi madhab, you know, zakat is obligatory on all the ornaments from the gold or silver, whether you use them or not, you don't use them. Even Imam Shafi rahmullah ta'ala, you know, he says, you know, if there are things which are kept and really people use, they should pay zakat for that, you know, even because this is like a treasure. They should pay anyway in Hanafi madhab. Zakat is obligatory on all the ornaments of the gold and silver, and I think that is a preferred opinion in this matter.
Okay, inshallah, let's take another question. And this question is, if someone suffers from frequent constipation and it makes him difficult to go to the washroom all the time, what is the ruling with regards to praying Salah with this problem?
You know, if there are people who are ma'adur, you know, if some people cannot keep their wudu, so they do wudu for the time of the prayer, and then they can continue the prayer. They don't need to do wudu all the time. Like somebody urinates and drops the urine, keep coming all the time, or something else keep happening. So they can carry on the prayer. They don't need to go break the prayer and go all the time. Okay, too much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always, you know, response to people's need and difficulties. So when difficulty comes, easiness comes. So people only need to do wudu for the time of the prayer, and within the time, if the same thing keep happening, does not break the, if something else happen, it will break the wudu, but same thing will not break the wudu.
Okay, jazakallah khair, Sheikh. Let's see. Okay, we have a question from Amara. I know he asked this question a few weeks ago, but it wasn't asked that clearly. He's asking, is it halal to earn money by making YouTube videos if my video content is halal? So he's talking about having adverts depending on the amount of people that watch the adverts, you can earn money from that. Is this permissible or not?
Yeah, you know, if you have your content is halal, and why not? People can earn money any halal way to YouTube video. Any, I don't know much detail about YouTube how it works, but if you say, you know, your content is halal, and people watch it and they benefit it, and then the, you know, you get money because people use it. Yeah, so you get it's halal money. I don't think there's any problem in that.
Okay, let's take another question. You give me one moment. So we have a nice simple question here. What is the best way to purify one's heart?
The best way is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. You know, when the time for the prayer comes, you pray, you read the Quran, you avoid the haram, you know, you follow the halal, don't commit a sin, don't lie, don't backbite, don't hurt anybody, don't harm anybody. You know, purity, you know, since be sincere to everything. That's the best thing. There's no other way, really. There's not something, you know, technical or mechanical that, you know, people follow some techniques. It's all obedience. The only way, actually, right way to purify your heart is to obey Allah and His Messenger. Whenever people see teach you some techniques, it doesn't work. Your heart is not purified. You seem to, you just feel, you get feeling. Feelings are not purification. So people get some mood. So they think, you know, they are elevated. Elevation of the mood is not purification. Purification is a very serious matter. It only happens by obedience. Taqwa, you know, you fear Allah and you obey Him, avoid the sins.
Okay, we have a question from Ramis, if I'm not mistaken. A question regarding Tura Sukaina. The fashion style of Sukaina bint Hussein, was that a hairstyle or a hijab style? There are various references claiming it to be a hairstyle and some to be a way that the hijab was worn.
You know, most of the teachers, really, I don't think anybody got proof. And Sukaina bint Hussein, you know, she's the daughter of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, is a companion. And Sukaina is a, you know, pious woman. So, you know, it could be, you know, that she did not wear niqab because niqab is not obligatory. You know, some people did wear, some people did not wear. But these women are very pious. I don't think they will show off anything here or you know, in public. Yeah, what Sukaina is more known is she loved poetry and literature. So in her house, there would be assemblies of the poets. They come and they read poetry. She may be reading as well, you know, normal way. But we don't think really there was any sin or anything which can be haram. So if something done nicely and with hijab, proper covering, so there's no harm in that. But, you know, don't worry about many details which come about the Sukaina and other women because people don't have any proof, really. Most of this is coming from the sources which are not sound. I never came across this. I have written her biography in my book, Wafa Bes My Nessa, but I never came across something like that, what you're saying.
Okay, Jazakallah Khair, Sheikh. Let's take another question, which is quite interesting. What has more reward? To recite the Arabic words of the Quran, to read a translation of a certain surah, or to read a tafsir of a surah?
What actually has reward is to understand the Quran. But that's all. That's what people need to know. So you read, if you know Arabic, you read in Arabic and try to understand. If you don't know Arabic, then seek help from the translation. If sometime a translation is not clear to you, then refer to the book of tafsir. So any effort that you make to understand the Quran, it is really great. And you get so much reward for that. That's what people need to do. You know, it is not the reading with the lips matter. That what reading means, people have got wrong idea. People say reading means with the lips. No, reading means to understand. You know, if somebody asks you, have you read a book in the grammar? It does not mean you read with the lips, meaning have you understood it? You know, have you learned properly? So whenever people say, have you read this book or that book, in any language, meaning understanding, it is obligatory on everybody to make effort to understand the Quran. You know, if you cannot understand Arabic, try to understand in the language that you know, English, Urdu, Persian, or Bengali language, or Afghani language, any language that you know, read in that language. It's not obligatory for you to know tafsir, because tafsir is human. But what Allah says, that you need to understand. But sometimes could be possible that translation not enough for you. So then you need to go refer to somebody who knows tafsir or some teachers, they can help you. But that's what is obligatory. Obligatory is to understand the Quran.
Okay, let's take a question from Hafsa. And her question is, if one has neglected paying her zakat in previous years, what is the penalty and how should one correct this?
You know, if people have missed any fard of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they have to do it again, remember and repent. So if somebody has not paid zakat for 3, 4, 5 years, you have to count properly and pay zakat of all those years and also repent because you delayed the wajib, you delayed your fard, so you have to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So repenting will be enough and you don't have to pay any penalty, just same zakat. So whatever zakat you have missed, pay zakat and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay, let's take another question, inshallah, if you just give me one moment. it does seem like we're receiving a lot of questions about mortgage, but I know Sheikh has discussed this extensively. So inshallah, if you can have a look at our YouTube channel and look at our previous Q&As, and I'm sure we do have a few videos we've released on this topic, inshallah, that might be more helpful. Let's see if we can address another question, inshallah. From Rais, his question is, what is the Islamic stance on mind reading? How should we look towards those who claim such actions?
You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given actually people a right means to understand things. But guessing about something, you know, and then believing in that is very dangerous, very, very dangerous. It could be possible from some sign or from some hints, gestures, you can know really what you're thinking. But there's no proof for that. It could be completely opposite of what you think. So that's why the best thing is don't make all these efforts. Just be humble, you know, and slave of Allah. Think about yourself. I don't understand why people are so much worried about other people. You know, if you are right, Allah will defend you and nobody can harm you. Simple matter, obey Allah. Allah said, those who fear me and obey me, I make everything easy for them. I open all the doors for them. I protect them. I save them. So don't worry. Nobody can harm you. People can hurt you a little bit, but that's a test for you. You have to do sabr. So don't worry about reading people's mind and what they're thinking, how they backbite, and you know what they saying about you and think. This is nothing, useless thing really. People who do all those things, they never can succeed. Evil doers never succeed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the Quran that people who plot against someone else, their plot actually one day will harm them. لَا يَحِيقُ الْمَكْرُ سَيُّ إِلَّا بِأَهْلِهِ. Evil plotting always harms the people who plot. You know, like they're saying in Persian language, chah kan ra chah dar pesh. Those who dig the well for other people, they are the one who going to fall in the well, catch in front of them. So there's no need to waste your time. Just think what is good for you. Look at your defects, your fault. Purify yourself, clean yourself. There are people, you know, make effort to find fault in me and defect. So I never make any effort to answer them. So I think really is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, he has made me to serve his religion. And these people, they are just looking after my faults and defects. What they will get? They will get sin and I'll get reward. So sometimes I feel that my mind is so much in the ibadah and I do more work. So I think, I don't do anything good really. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is helping me so much? So then it comes to my mind, maybe some people are backbiting me. They're hurting me, they're harming me. So when people hurt you and harm you, or you know, backbite you, you get reward. So don't worry, nobody can harm you. So just a bit think about yourself. Don't read people's mind. There's no need for that. Nothing. You know, you don't need to go to someone else to ask to read your mind. You know who you are. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only ask questions you what easily you can know. So it's all useless thing, rubbish really. And people who do these things, they never succeed. Successful are people who are righteous and they obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. You know, they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who keep looking after other people's evils, they never succeed. So be very careful in this life. Don't backbite, don't hurt anybody, don't harm anybody. Just concern about your own thing. You will see Allah will help you, inshallah.
And I think since it's 6:30 now, I think we will end it there, inshallah. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh, for your time. And jazakumullah khair and everyone else for joining us, alhamdulillah. Like I mentioned earlier, this Q&A will be running every week, 6 p.m. UK time. Our timing in the UK did just move 1 hour back, so please do kind of take that into consideration, inshallah. And again, apologies for the mix-up. Anyone who is interested in anything that we're doing at SLM Institute, the programs that we're running, any short courses that we have, we also have other upcoming events at the end of this year, inshallah, and for next year. Sheikh Akram is holding a plethora of courses, Tafsir series, Tafsir al-Kashaf. Anyone who's interested, head on to our Facebook. We have Twitter, we have Instagram. Shoot us a message, inshallah, and we'll try and get back to you. And other than that, inshallah, please do keep any questions that weren't answered for next week, and we will try our best to answer them. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.